music. I always find that, especially when there's this praise team, that often, or any time, the songs and the music are often a sermon in themselves, if we really take them in and listen to them as we sing them. And it was wonderful to praise God through music. Let's turn to our God in prayer. Lord God, as we open your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to listen to what you would have us hear. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak may be your words, that it may be the truths that are in your word, the scripture that you've given us, through the Holy Spirit that is with us. Bless the children as they're in Sunday school and the little ones downstairs. Pray this in your name. Amen. The scripture this morning is from Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." So far, the reading of God's word. As I begin this morning, chances are a part of you is somewhat distracted. Perhaps you didn't sleep well last night, so you're tired, out of sorts, and looking forward to a nap this afternoon. You had an argument with your spouse or a child, and your mind is still on that. Or your arthritis is acting up, and the pain is distracting you. Or perhaps you're more focused on your plans to enjoy the afternoon. This afternoon, hopefully it's not going to thunder and rain. But often we're distracted with different things as we come into the service. But whatever the distractions we have, they all serve to divide our minds and they keep us from being able to fully focus. It's difficult to listen and fully take in what a person is saying to us when we're distracted. And this isn't only true for the people we interact with on a daily basis, especially our loved ones, those close to us, but it's also true for our communication with God. You know, it's actually no accident that the order of worship includes a silent prayer in the beginning. And the purpose of this is to quiet our hearts and minds and put aside the distractions which we brought to this service with us, so that we can focus, listen, and hear what God has to say. The passage this morning focuses on the priority of listening to God and the need for us to put aside all things which distract us so we really are able to hear what he is saying to us. One of the things that distracts me when reading this particular passage or any passage that's really familiar is the fact that it is extremely familiar. Those of us who've been Christians for any length of time have heard this passage so many times that it's in danger of becoming background noise. I read it, and I think, oh yes, right. I'm more like Martha than Mary, but I should be more like Mary. I should slow down and spend more time in devotions. Right, okay, I got that. and then I go on with my own life without actually taking the time to listen and let what God has to say soak in so that it sinks deep and creates heart change, as Pastor Pete likes to say. Luke, the writer of the gospel, nestles these five verses, short verses, in between two sections, the parable of the Good Samaritan on one side and the teaching of prayer on the other. And all three of these teachings are connected. They're all lessons in discipleship. And what does it mean? How do we follow Jesus? We are to serve our neighbors, that's true, the Good Samaritan story. And we are to pray to God and bring our concerns to Him. But central to both is the need to listen and hear what He has to say. What Jesus is saying in this narrative is crucial. It's a crucial teaching to help us understand and live as followers of Jesus. Having said this, let's take a closer look at the passage itself. In verse 40, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha had opened her home to Jesus when he came to her village. What we have to remember is that this meant she had also invited the disciples. Jesus traveled with his disciples everywhere. And it was common for him to be in people's homes with his disciples and often with more people as well. If we think about the story of the paralytic who was lowered down through the roof of a house because his friends couldn't even get him through the crowd around him. So that gives you an idea of how many people potentially there was in Martha's home. So here was Martha offering to feed at least 13 extra people. And anybody who's ever fed a large group of people knows how much work it is. And Martha did not have the conveniences that we have today. She didn't have a freezer that had meat in it, or a store down the way that had canned goods and frozen goods. She likely had to have an animal slaughtered, or at least go to the market for fish, and then to clean it still. She had to make bread from scratch, find the vegetables, scrub them, peel them, cook them. Martha was understandably very busy. And as much as she would have liked to have listened to Jesus, it just wasn't possible. Somebody had to do the work if they were to eat. It wasn't a good time to stop and listen. And so Martha was distracted by her busyness. Busyness in the cause of something good. She was preparing to feed Jesus. What could be more important than that? Many of us are also busy with good things. We care for our families and work to support them. We volunteer at church. We spend time with those who are hurting and lonely, and the list goes on. Pastor Tom made a comment in his sermon a few weeks ago about how sometimes the cost of discipleship requires us actually to choose between what's good and what's better. What Martha was doing was a good thing, but was it the best thing, the most important? Martha's outward distraction of being busy, hosting, eventually turns into an inner distraction. The inner distractions of worry and resentment. And it's not difficult to understand how Martha's busyness leads to worry either. Once again, if you've ever been responsible or involved for hosting a large group of people or organizing something like a conference or chairing a meeting or planning a wedding or a funeral, anything like that, you'll immediately be able to picture how it's possible for Martha to start feeling overwhelmed and to become worried. She had opened her home to Jesus. She was responsible to be a good hostess. Doing the bare minimum wasn't good enough. She wanted to provide the absolute best hospitality because Jesus was an important teacher and she wanted to make a good impression. She wanted to honor Jesus by providing for him in a way that was in line with his stature as a teacher, a rabbi. Therefore, there was a huge amount of work to do and very little time to do it in. Martha became worried, overwhelmed. Martha's busyness and worry, anxiety, culminates into another interior distraction, resentment. As Martha bustles through the main sitting area where Jesus is teaching, she suddenly notices Mary, her sister, and all she's doing is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here she is, focusing on her duties, and Mary is doing nothing. In fact, she's acting just like one of the disciples, sitting at Jesus' feet. According to the cultural norms of that day, Mary's role was to serve the disciples, not to become one of them. Martha is rightfully indignant. Martha compares what she is doing with Mary and is absolutely sure her actions are more in line with Jesus' will than Mary's. In fact, Martha is so sure she's right that she boldly goes up to Jesus in front of all the disciples, all the other people that are there, and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" And then she actually dares to give Jesus a command. She says, "Tell her to help me." She fully expects Jesus to listen to her and agree not only with her priority of hospitality, but also her negative judgment of Mary. But Mary's response to Martha is the opposite of what Martha expects. Instead of support, Jesus reprimands. "Martha, Martha, you are upset and worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It leaves me to wonder how often I've actually not been on the same wavelength as Jesus when I think I am, when I'm so sure that I'm right. It's a rather humbling thought. Mary has chosen what is better. What exactly is Mary doing, and why is it better than Martha's choice to provide for the physical needs of Jesus and his disciples? Her choice to care for and show her love through service. There's actually only one short phrase in this already short narrative that describes what Mary is doing. In verse 39, states, "She, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to him." Though Martha had invited Jesus into her home, it was also Mary's home, and so the expectation of providing hospitality would have fallen to Mary as well. Despite this, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. Her love for Jesus, her desire to be in his presence and learn from him, was so great she didn't let societal norms and expectations distract her from listening. She sits at Jesus' feet in the same manner as his disciples, despite being a woman. She didn't worry about what others might think of her, or that her place was really beside Martha helping to prepare a meal. And Jesus is saying this is better because the food he provides, his word, his teaching, is food that will last and is crucial to being able to follow his way to be a disciple. There's actually more we can learn from this very short phrase, that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to him. Mary's posture of sitting at Jesus' feet was one of humility. In the time of Jesus, it was common to sit at the feet of your teacher. It was a sign that you acknowledged you were the disciple, the student, and you needed to listen to Jesus. And you needed to learn from the one who had more knowledge of you. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is what Mary was doing. She's not running around preparing a meal. She's at the feet of Jesus, humbly taking in his words and being in his presence. Mary is also silent. Nowhere in this narrative does Mary speak. She is content to sit at Jesus' feet. She doesn't ask questions, give him a list of her concerns, or demand for him to solve her problems, as Martha did. She simply listens and allows Jesus to set the agenda for what he wants to teach. She doesn't even defend herself when Martha gives her outburst, which is something I'm sure I would have done. She lets Jesus be her defense. You know, it occurred to me rather recently that this kind of focused listening is actually a little like puzzling. Both my niece and I enjoy puzzling. So when she was staying over one day, we sat down to puzzle together. And as we were puzzling, I noticed that she would pick up a piece, try a variety of places, put it back down again, and then pick up another piece, try a variety, put it back down again. And she kept doing this. So finally I said to her, "You know, Allison, puzzling takes patience. You need to actually take the time to look closely at each piece. You need to look at the shades and the shapes, the shades of colors and the shape of it, to get a sense of it. Then you also need to sit back and look at the whole puzzle and absorb the whole until you know it so well that you get a sense of where the pieces of a certain color and shape might fit." Listening to God also can't be hurried. We need to take the time to know God, to sit with him, sit with his word. Let the Spirit do his work so that when he does tell us something, we are able to hear it. And then we're able to follow it. So the better choice, which Jesus is commending Mary for, is her willingness to put listening and learning from Jesus ahead of any other consideration, even serving. She is showing that her priority is Jesus, her Lord. And Jesus says that's what Martha should also choose. So what does it take to really make listening a priority? It takes a desire to be in Jesus' presence that's stronger than any distractions that might interfere. It takes an attitude of humility. One of the songs we sang this morning talked about humility as well. It takes an openness to learning. And it takes a physical, but even more importantly, it takes a mental posture that's quiet and still. In other words, all of our being, heart, attitude, mind, and body must be ready and willing to listen to him. This is a very short narrative, and it describes the differences between Mary and Martha in a very black and white terms. According to Jesus, Mary is the one who has her priorities straight, who is humble and quiet, who has her full attention on him and is listening and learning. Martha, on the other hand, has her attention on service that makes an impression. Her hands are busy preparing a meal. Her mind is full of worries and resentments. Jesus says these are all distractions that take away from the priority of listening to him, of keeping him as first priority. We all know, if we've been Christians for any length of time, and most of us have been, that though we might have moments when we are like Mary, there are far more times when we are like Martha, full of distractions which keep us from really listening and hearing what Jesus is saying to us. So is there any hope for us? The narrative ends very abruptly, right after Jesus reprimands Martha. As mentioned earlier, this narrative is placed within a larger section of Luke, which is focused on teaching different lessons about how to live as Jesus' disciples. In Jesus' day, it was common to use very stark descriptions of opposites to emphasize a point when teaching. These opposites bring out the teaching more clearly. So clearly, the lesson in this passage is the importance of listening, listening without distractions, which can so easily take precedence from us hearing from God. But we also know that this passage is not saying that as a person, Mary is better than Martha, or that Jesus loves Mary more than Martha. And we know this from other passages in the Bible. John 11 and 12 talks a lot about Jesus and Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. He had a well-established relationship with them, and he loved them all very much. Because of this, and because of Jesus' compassion, mercy, and grace, which he constantly showed in his ministry and ultimately showed by dying on the cross, we know that Jesus' comment to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed," was not only a reprimand, but it was also an invitation. An invitation to change her priorities, to listen to him, the one who's able to provide food that lasts. Jesus loves her enough to tell her what she needs to hear, not what she expects to hear or what she wants to hear. When I imagine this story, I imagine Martha in response to Jesus' words, dropping to her knees at Jesus' feet and saying, "My teacher, I know, I'm sorry, but it's just so hard not to be distracted." And Jesus, in turn, smiling at Martha and saying, "I love you. Don't worry. Come join Mary and listen." Of course, at some point, they would still need to eat. But perhaps later on, Mary and Martha together would have made the equivalent of peanut butter and jam sandwiches in that time. I'm not sure what it would have been at that time. The challenge for us this morning is to ponder what distractions might be preventing us as both individuals and as a whole congregation from the priority of listening to Jesus. The leadership of this congregation has recently committed to a two-year church renewal lab process. And when Rob Messelink spoke about it a few weeks ago, he said that the first part of this process, it's actually 6 months long, is on listening. We are to listen to God through focusing on Scripture, through listening to each other as congregants, through listening to those outside our congregation, and listening to the Holy Spirit as he nudges us and helps us discern what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is saying. The question and challenge for us as we begin this process is to ponder what might distract us as a congregation from really listening and hearing what God is saying. Are we willing and able to take the time necessary to listen? Are we listening with humility? Or are we already assuming that we know what God is saying or what he's going to say to us? And as individuals, are we distracted by our work or lack of work, our families or lack of families, our recreation, our church activities, our health worries, money, anger, jealousy, resentment, pride, and you can fill it in. This week, let us all tell God exactly what's going on in our hearts and minds, just as Martha did. And let us hear him say to us this morning, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's respond this morning with singing, "Speak, O Lord."